Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
Time to talk football as we do every day at this time with John Clayton. If you guys have questions for the professor, you can text him in to 710-710. Try to get to some of your questions before we let him go for the day. Hello, John.
Hey, kind of a quiet post-June 1st day. I thought there was going to be more news today.
That's what I was going to ask you. Were you surprised by the lack of activity?
Yeah. I mean, again, that's like in most cases, I mean, most of these guys have been on the street, like in the case of Alshon Jeffrey and Malik Collins. I mean, they now officially go off the books. But in the end, they're still available, but nobody assigned them. Doesn't seem to be too much going on the Julio Jones front, because no quick move there. Some people thought that it could happen as quickly as today. And if it would happen today, it would probably be San Francisco. But now there seems to be the thought that more teams are thinking, maybe we'll wait to see if he cut him because they're so tight against the cap. So a lot of those things going on right now.
What's the cap hit for them if they do release him?
Oh, I'm trying to remember because I looked at it yesterday. I think it's about, 19 million bucks, something like that.
Because they're one of the teams that are really up against the cap, right?
Yeah. I mean, they're 283 against the cap right now. Now, of course, they'll save his $15.3 million as far as base salary and then have, dead money. Actually, probably it's like about maybe seven or so as far as the cap hit. So they'll probably gain about $8.3 million.
You're laughing at me.
360, Professor, how many touchdowns does your database have Tebow scoring this season?
I barely even have him in the database.
Okay. And then the 509, ask JC about KJ. LOL, just kidding. Okay,
yeah, that's fine. Nothing going on.
All right, so here's a good one, though. And rank likelihood here. Julio Jones, Richard Sherman, Geno Atkins, who's more likely to be on the Seahawks?
0-3, I think. I guess of the three, maybe Geno Atkins.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, maybe that's a possibility. Carlos Dunlap putting in a good word for him, and he's a good interior pass rusher, so that could be a possibility. Interesting one today that you bring up, Richard Sherman, that sounds like now the Jets may be starting to renew the idea of considering him to get him back together with Robert Saleh, his defensive coordinator, because they don't have much at the cornerback position. And so that now can be maybe a possibility for Richard if he wants to go to New York. And what you wonder about, does he really want to go cross country? Because he's a West Coast guy. I mean, he still lives in this area right now. I don't know if he wants to go all the way to New York, but I think he also wants to play football.
Well, and he wouldn't mind with Saleh, right? I mean, I'm sure they get along really well. I think Sherm's a really good football mind.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're Saleh and you're trying to get the culture established there, I mean, as far as that goes, what kind of money is Sherman going to be looking at? Let's say he does sign with the Jets.
Well, it's funny because I keep on bringing up Casey Hayward, a former Pro Bowler for the Chargers, and he ended up going to the Raiders on a one-year, $2.5 million deal. So I struggle to think it's going to be more than $2.5 million. Now, the Jets do have the cap room. They can give him a little bit more, but they're not going to overspend when you don't have to. That's just not the nature of what they're going to do. So it could be as low as $2.5 million. Sorry, Richard.
Well, and Sherm is his own agent, correct?
That is correct, yes.
And so when he did his last deal, I'm trying to remember how it goes. You probably remember better than me. But, he had a bunch of, he had a roster bonus.
Right.
In there. He had a Pro Bowl bonus, which I think, did he make it one of the?
He did make it, yeah.
3 years, yeah. So, I mean, I thought he was fairly, clever with that. And it's not, he was one of the few guys, because usually I go, it's worth paying the 3%, okay?
Yeah.
I know
it
would have been for me. Because I would have just said, remember when Kramer burned himself with the coffee?
Oh, yeah.
We'll give you free coffee, I'll take it. Yeah, I was that guy. But for sure, I mean, it sounds like he's, of all the guys that have done it on their own, it seems like he did a pretty good job.
Yeah, and it's and it's funny because, he did have those incentive-laden deals because I think what was about 11, it was about $3 million of incentives, and I think he hit most of them, if not all. And so it kind of gave told you so at the end just to kind of rub the fact in. It's like, hey, I'm not a dummy here, and he did a good job.
I was reading this story about Matt LaFleur saying he's He was hoping that he's going to see his exact words. It's important that we have all our guys, and certainly we'd love him to be here, and hopefully we'll see him on Tuesday. He's talking about Aaron Rodgers. He's talking about their mandatory mini camp that's coming up next week. I'm looking at the numbers. He can be fined $93,085 for missing all 3 days of the camp. That'd be like $10 for us. So I'm going to say he's not going to be there.
Yeah, I mean that's a couple days in Hawaii at a real expensive hotel.
Isn't he there?
Yeah, I think he is.
Did you see that?
He was there.
There's a video somewhere where he's like playing a guitar, and I don't know if that's his fiance that's singing. And he's,
it is.
Yeah, so it looks like they're staying in some big, beautiful house out there in Hawaii. Yeah. He looks like he doesn't have a care in the world.
He looks happy.
He does not look like
a dark artist.
He's away from the Packers. But when you brought up the Matt LaFleur quote, I thought you were going to bring up the fact about the wide receivers. Because, I mean, and because everybody's noticed today and has noticed for the last week or so that the top five wide receivers in the Packers aren't there.
Yeah, Davante Adams, Alan Lazard, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Equanimeous St. Brown and Devin Funchess.
Yeah, and
all
so
gone.
All gone. All not
congratulations
there.
With those names, by the
yeah,
way.
Hey, very thanks, good. Man. But the funny part is, they asked Matt about that, and he says, "I've talked to all five, and I don't think there's a concerted effort to try to support Aaron Rodgers on this. I just don't get that feeling," which tells me it's like, yeah, I get the feeling they're all sticking up for Aaron Rodgers.
You think that's why they're not there?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, why wouldn't it? It's like you've got. Five openings. Now, obviously, Davante Adams is in a contract year, so you figure that he's going to hold out and not be there because, so he'll lose the money on the mandatory mini camps. But the other four guys, I mean, these guys with the numbers that they put up last year with an MVP quarterback are no better than a third or fourth wide receiver. And so you think they might want to be there, but then, I don't know if they want to be there with, the quarterback of the future, Jordan Love. Love today, my memory goes right, was 10 of 17. He was sacked twice. He threw two interceptions and one touchdown, and six or seven of his passes on the 17 passes were to running backs.
Mm. So you're saying that's a bad day?
That would be a bad day, yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, maybe you can blame it on the fact that he's now which is even funnier, is that one of their draft choices is Amari Rodgers, but on the field, he's A. Rodgers. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, there's Aaron Rodgers out there at wide receiver.
Oh, darn. It's not him. Tom Brady I think he gets more likable. You see this quote. He says, "I don't think I've ever been as confused as I was on fourth down in Chicago." That was a Thursday night game, I think, where he thought it was third down. He thought they had two other chances, and he just went through the whole thing. I guess there's something on TikTok. But he's basically saying, last chance in Chicago. I thought it was the second to last chance in Chicago, but apparently not. I don't think I've ever been as confused as I am in this moment right here. Look at my face. I mean, he stumbles off the boat, and everybody's like, look at him. He's having fun. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I feel like Brady just gets more and more likable. I always liked him because I thought he was a great underdog story. He's not exactly an underdog anymore.
Oh, no, not at all. But the interesting part with Tom is that if you go through, and he's talked about this a bunch, that, first half of the season, he didn't know the offense. I mean, he was still learning the offense on the run. And then once he got to midseason, then, it was starting to click, and they didn't lose a game after that. And so really, now what's so dangerous, and I know I wrote about this today in the Washington Post, think about what they were able to do. Okay, Jason Light in the front office kept all the starters from the 2021 Super Bowl. Okay, on top of that, they didn't have to cut a player. They didn't cut anybody for cap reasons. So their dead money is like $2.3 million. So they're in good shape there. They had to spend $82 million. So $83 million so far just in free agency to keep the 13 players that they kept. And that all worked out real well. I think the only outside free agents they brought in for the minimum salary was Giovanni Bernard, the running back. But, they were able to do all this and then not have to cut anybody. keep everybody in the same boat. And so it's like they did an amazing job. And so here they are. Now they're certainly the oldest team in football, which has got to be a concern, but they feel real good about it. But they, I know that what Jason Light said in the story was that it's like, hey, we're going to be fine. We've got good training people, physical therapists, all those different things. And on top of it, Tom Brady's going to keep everybody young because he keeps himself in such great shape.
Yeah, you know, you bring that up, and I'm going to get fixated on this. Pro Football Focus had Devin White ranked, what, 40?
Number one. No, I think it had a number one.
Huh? Did you ask that already?
No.
No. Oh. I don't know if it was a matter that they were just rating the inside linebackers, but the way I looked at something, I think he was rated number one.
Yeah, anyway.
Well, his grade was 43.4. Lefko was looking it up this morning. They gave him a 43.4 grade, which is not good because Jordan Brooks had a 46 grade, and they said he was one of the lowest graded linebackers.
Which was terrible. They had Levante David very high, but I don't know. I don't know what's going on over there. Who looks at the film? What's going on there at Pro Football Focus?
I mean, all I know is that's one of the best linebacking core, if not the best linebacking core in football. You got two pass rushers. You got two great inside linebackers. I mean, they're good.
Yes, they are.
Hey, John, somebody brought up a very obvious point when talking about Jordan Love throwing to running backs. They said he had to pass to running backs because no wide receivers were there.
Good point.
So, as we just detailed every receiver who's not there. So there's that. You guys can text in your questions for John, 710-710 to the Mac and Jacks text line. This one from the 253, Mr. Clayton, which AFC team has the best chance of going to the Super Bowl with a new talent added during the offseason?
Well, I mean, Kansas City. I mean, right now, I think that they're the best team in the AFC. I mean, certainly you have to think that Cleveland's now moved up a little bit closer. Buffalo's probably the second best team in the AFC right now. But the two sleepers, I think, are the Denver Broncos and the Los Angeles Chargers. I mean, you know, the Chargers have Justin Herbert, who is was a rookie of the year last year at quarterback. And then they totally revamped a bad offensive line. And now they're so much better on the offensive line. So I think they're in great shape. So and you also look at the most improved division. I guess you can argue that it could be the AFC West, but you can also argue it's the AFC East because you got Buffalo number one, New England outspending everybody in free agency, Miami having a good offseason, and the New York Jets, you know, really having a good offseason. So it's a much tougher division right now.
You like the way the Broncos are built.
Yes. Well, wouldn't you? Because, I mean, so much of it's on their defense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes a focus off what they're lacking at quarterback.
Yeah, no doubt. And, of course, I mean, there's some guy named Rodgers, Amari Rodgers or something like that.
You're certain he's going to end up there.
John Clayton.
I do.
You know what's going to happen? We're going to go back and forth, and then it's going to happen, and John's going to forget that he actually said this, and I'll have to remind him. Remember, John, because remember in the draft, originally you were saying Trey Lance was number three.
Yeah.
And then we kind of went away from it, and then I reminded you. John, I'll just keep track of everything you say.
Okay, that's good. Appreciate that.
Does Rodgers have a no-trade clause?
Yeah, he does.
He does. Do you think he'd want to go to Denver?
Oh, absolutely. That's the team that he favors.
It is. Okay.
Yeah, because his fiance's in Boulder, Colorado. He knows it's a good team. I mean, he's got three receivers, even though two of them are injured right now, that are really good. I mean, Jeff Judy, who I thought was the best receiver in last year's draft, even though Justin Jefferson came out and had such an unbelievable year.
You know, they have Jerry Judy, right?
Or Jerry Judy, yeah. They have A.J. Hamler, their second-round pick, even though he's a little bit slow coming back, but they have Sutton at wide receiver. Cortland Sutton's been to one Pro Bowl. Mm-hmm. Noah Fant at tight end, a two-time Pro Bowl running back, and Melvin Gordon. And then the backup running back right now is Javonte Williams, who is the third back taken in this year's draft and is pretty good. And so he's got a decent offensive line. And so you throw all that together, it looks pretty strong.
I thought the first name was Judge. That's what I would have said.
Judge Judy,
okay.
Dave.
Isn't Judge Judy the coach of the New York Giants? Judge.
Joe Judge.
See, now we're going down this rabbit.
Okay, yeah, John. Yeah,
nobody
sorry.
Wins here.
Was that Danny O'Neill?
It was terrible. We won't laugh at that one because we don't want to encourage you. What do you think the Cowboys are going to end up this year as far as, you know, it was interesting, the whole Dak Prescott thing, you know, committing to him, and then, you know, they're trying to get – they can only get better on defense, John. Only get better.
Yeah.
So what do you think their record is? How competitive are they going to be this year?
I think they can be 10-6. Yeah, because maybe they can win 11 because now you got Dak Prescott. They've got three good receivers. You know, their offensive line, if it stays healthy, is one of the best in football. And they just need a little bit more from their defense. And you got a good defensive coordinator and Dan Quinn there trying to fix all that up.
The 509 wanting to know the next move of the Buffalo Bills, who have freed up $7+ million with that Stephon Diggs restructuring.
I just think right now it's going to be just, you know, trying to get some extensions because, you know, they were able to get two pass rushers, which I think they feel real good about. I know that Brandon Bean, their general manager, is always interested in looking for upgrades on the offensive line. You know, they may be in fact, I think the one move that might be similar is that, you know, they could be in the mix if Philadelphia lowers its demand on Zach Ertz, the tight end, because I know they want to upgrade the tight end position, and that's important to them. So that could be the next move as far as a Zach Ertz trade. But right now, Howie Roseman, the general manager, is holding out for so much, nothing's getting done.
Well, so today, John, you mentioned just not that big of, you know, moves mm-hmm. and things going on. What was the biggest thing? What were a couple of things, at least, that were a little bit curious, or was it just that dead?
Just dead. I mean, just absolutely dead. You know, it's like, you know, we all knew Weston Richburg was going to retire, so he's out of it. We all knew that all the guys that were there, I mean, you know, Charles Leno, I mean, he's, you know, he's off the books right now and now fully on with the Washington football team. So, no, it was pretty dead. Again, we're just waiting pretty much for Julio Jones to see what happens with that. I guess, you know, some of the stories seem to think there's now a little bit more pessimism on him getting some kind of a trade deal.
No, he's never been a bad guy, though,
no,
has he?
No, good guy. No, he's a good guy.
Yeah, I was reading, or Keanu O'Neill was saying, you know, or one of their players was saying, you know, look, we don't really talk about him. He's always been a good guy in the locker room,
guy.
All that.
He's a quiet guy. He's not a diva. That's the one thing we know for sure.
John, the 253 says, asking, where are the Vikings and Danielle Hunter with this contract?
Not good. I mean, and I put more of this on Danielle than anything else, because they're the team that came after him and gave him a good contract. And here he is in year three trying to ask for so much more. And you go, what are you doing? It's like a bad move on your part. And so, you know, they, you know, and then of course last year, because of Danielle Hunter, you know, they felt good enough they were going to trade for Unique and Ndakwe, which they did, and then Hunter gets hurt and gets wiped out for the season, and so next thing you know, they trade Ndakwe to the Baltimore Ravens, and so it's like, but no, the situation's bad because he's too early in his contract to be asking for a contract extension to get some more money.
253 wants to know, will the Cowboys trade Leighton Vander Esch?
As of no. The thought would be, now, of course, they're not giving him the fifth-year option, but apparently just in the last 2 or 3 days, they've now come out publicly and said, we're not trading Vander Esch, so he's going to stay there.
John, what do you know about that? I wasn't even aware of this.
By the way, Jalen Smith might be traded.
Oh.
From the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Really?
All right.
Okay, sorry.
I hadn't even heard of this, but the NFL on Wednesday pledged to halt the use of race norming, which assumed black players started out with lower cognitive functioning in the $1 billion settlement of brain injury claims to review past scores for any potential racist bias. So they, I guess in assessing, you know, the damage done from the game of football, mm-hmm. they held African-American athletes to a lower, to saying their lower cognitive ability functioning?
Apparently they did, and I'm glad that they were caught.
I mean, wow, because, that's amazing that that's what was going on.
I mean, but again, we're seeing this throughout the country right now. It's slowly getting corrected, but even when a thing like this creeps up, it's not good. Because, again, it's like, you know, particularly in a league like this, where more so than anything else, Black Lives Matter means so much to the players, and rightfully so. To have something like this, race norming, I've never heard of race norming. I mean, I've heard of normal races where you go, you know, you maybe watch a car go at the Indy 500 or something like that, but race norming, never heard of it.
Yeah, it says, for people that don't know what it is, the practice made it harder for black players to show a deficit and qualify for an award. The standards were designed in medicine in the 1990s in hopes of offering more appropriate treatment to dementia patients, mm-hmm. but critics faulted the way they were used to assess legal damages in the NFL case.
Yeah, it's horrible. Absolutely horrible. They said, I'm glad they caught it. I'm glad they're trying to fix it. They better fix it because it is wrong on the NFL's part. And I'm sure it's the NFL attorneys more than anything else.
John, what do you think about Andy Dalton? He says, my mindset didn't change just because they drafted Justin Fields. You know, he's been kind of one of those guys, I don't know, he's sort of like a Matthew Stafford to me, maybe. It's mm-hmm. like, he's good, but, You know, and he's another guy they haven't won in the playoffs as far as the Bengals when he was there. But, yeah, it just he's just kind of one of those guys that it's not like he's terrible, but it's like you got the wrong franchise quarterback. It'll be interesting to see how long he lasts before they bring Justin Fields in and give him a chance in Chicago.
Yeah, but I think the Red Rifle can probably stay for some time because he still has a good arm. I mean, certainly he's at the stage right now. You know, he comes out in 2011 with no offseason program, takes the team to five straight playoffs, and again, one of those playoff games he got hurt. So in four of the five, you know, he did not win, and they lost all five in the five that they went. But, you know, I think he was a good quarterback. He was, you know, pretty exciting there for some time. Certainly some things have declined, and you saw last year with a talented Dallas Cowboy offense, he couldn't turn that around. Now, of course, he was plagued by having a bad defense, and so to turn things around, he had to score so many more points. But I think right now he's just going to kind of settle in and be kind of like a Ryan Fitzpatrick, kind of that good backup. Mm-hmm. But right now in Chicago, he's QB number one.
You know, it's funny. A couple years ago, I was doing the Thursday night show, Hawks Live, and we were getting ready to play the Bengals. And so, you know, I was talking to one of the guys in their office, you know, that was one of the, you know, big media guys. And I didn't make any, it wasn't a nasty comment about Andy Dalton. It was just kind of like, he's just kind of there and everything. And the guy, like, really kind of came after me. He was like, you know, he was really, like, upset that, you know, like, this is a really good man and he's done this and that and everything. And I mean, he was just very, you know, and I wasn't really attacking him or anything,
no.
but you know, you hear stories that this guy is a great guy and
agreed.
He's a really good, you know, leader that you want on your team and everything. It was just kind of eye opening because, you know, I was just sort of, maybe I didn't ask the question right, you know, but yeah, found out a little bit about him. And so ever since that, I've thought a little bit more highly of Andy.
Yeah. And of course, maybe I'm favoring him a little bit more than I should. But, you know, during that 5-year stretch, probably more than any other national football writer for ESPN, I probably did more Bengal games than anything else because I was hitting the two Bengal Steeler games, hit a bunch of Bengal Baltimore games. Didn't really hit any Cleveland Bengal games, and certainly now in the last several years, I've not hit any Bengal games when we were traveling. So I like the idea that and he all through those 5 years in the playoffs, just a good guy. I really agree with that.
John, we appreciate it. We'll talk tomorrow.
All right, sounds good.
All right, there you go. If you missed any of today's cold hard facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill. Download the podcast at 710sports.com. Coming up, is it ever okay for a player to quit on his team? We'll tell you what we're talking about next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Coming up at 5 o'clock, we'll speak with Michael Giannitti from, Spotrac, Spotrac. We're going to figure that out, too.
Spotrac.
I'm calling it Spot. You calling it Spot. But he's going to join us at 5 o'clock. We'll get into the inner workings of the salary cap and everything going on there. Meanwhile, just a little bit of hockey news as it pertains to the Seattle Kraken. The lottery just happened. They will come away with the second overall pick in this year's draft. Buffalo got the first pick, right, Lefko? Buffalo somehow finagled their way into that first spot. So Seattle with number two. And you looked up the Vegas Golden Knights in there. Inaugural draft, they had the sixth
pick. So they changed the rules here for the Kraken to protect them in getting a top five, which then they got two.
So the worst they could have done is five.
Yeah, much better than Vegas. And the expansion draft, so just for the Kraken, is July 21st. So they can pick all these players out of existing teams who don't protect their players. Yeah, we can get into details.
Yeah, they can only protect a certain number of players.
Right. They have their own draft before the main NHL draft anyway.
Okay. So Kraken fans, they've got the number two overall pick.
So are they doing here's how it was done for the supplemental draft in 1987
with Brian Bosworth.
There was a fishbowl, and then they put the little keychains, you know, the little charms that you get with. I still have one that's a Seahawk helmet.
Oh, okay.
And you put it on your key ring as a little charm. Yeah, so I guess I would always call them key rings. It's not really a key ring. It's like a little logo or whatever. Charm, I guess it is. And so I think the Seahawks, so there was 28 teams at the time. So if you came in last place, you got 28 of them in there. And if you won the Super Bowl, you got one and everything in between. And I want to say that the Seahawks had like maybe 8 or 9 or 10, maybe. They were on the lower end. And they reached in there and grabbed a Seahawk one.
Mm.
And it changed everybody's life.
Yours, too.
Big
More
time.
Specifically, your. Were you rooting against it? Or were you going, don't get it?
I didn't know. I think I knew that Boz was going into the supplemental draft. I can tell you this. I read it on the paper while I was on the can the morning of my graduation from Stanford.
Really?
Yeah. So, yeah, that was not good news. And I'm like, oh, great. I think I called my agent or something. Like, well, what does this mean? What's going to happen?
Where are we moving to?
Yeah, well, and then, yeah. Anyway, we'll tell the rest of that story later. But it's interesting. I've wanted to see, you know, I'm not sure. I know in the NBA they had the little balls that were popping around in there. And
yeah, ping pong balls.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they've had accusations of fixing the draft back when Patrick Ewing was drafted, the cold envelope, so they knew which one to grab. It was
Is that right?
Yeah, the frozen envelope.
Oh, and we looked it up, too, before this one happened, this lottery. There was accusations last year of the NHL draft lottery being rigged.
Oh, really?
Because there's always accusations, right, about rigged lotteries. So last year, they thought that the New York Rangers, who got the first pick, their ping pong ball was loaded. It was heavier.
Oh.
You know, the Twitter scientists were on there breaking down frame by frame the sound of the ping pong balls and the weight of which they were dropped in there.
The sound they were listening. Listen, it's distinctly different, the sound of this ball versus the others. I love that. That's great.
Draft,
I'm
going to
go ahead and just accuse. I'm going to accuse Buffalo. They cheated. They shouldn't have been number one. Should have been Seattle.
It just seems like everybody's cheating. New England's cheating. You got the pitchers in the Major League Baseball with their
cheating.
Substances.
Cheaters. Houston Astros are
Houston
cheating.
Astros. Just stop cheating, everybody.
A lot of cheating in society, Dave. It's just happening all around us. Okay, the question is it ever okay for a player to quit on his team? Which sounds a little harsh. Sounds a little harsh because what this is in reference to is the Lakers last night. I don't know how many people were watching it, but they just got drilled. And they were getting drilled pretty much from beginning to end. Like, it was not a close game. They were down by 30+. And with 5:45 left in the game, they were down 105-73 at the time, just getting throttled. LeBron left the bench and walked into the locker room. Now, the speculation was he's pouting, he's upset, he doesn't want to shake hands with the other team, what have you. Others are saying he's getting treatment. He's had a bad ankle forever. He's had that high ankle sprain. He missed a bunch of time, and people are saying, well, he was getting treatment and obviously wasn't going to go back into the game at that point when it was over. I don't know. It doesn't. You see it in other sports. You see football players leave the field early, walking through the tunnel for whatever reason. It doesn't happen in baseball, obviously. You're on the bench unless you're a pitcher. You go into the clubhouse if you've been removed from a game. But I don't know. Is it a horrible thing? Does it look really bad? I didn't even really notice it until Lefko brought it up.
Yeah, well, and they were making a big deal out of it on every talk show, but for me, there's no – you can ice on the sidelines. I mean, if he really needed something, I would make sure everybody knew that, you know, I had to go to the bathroom like Lamar Jackson.
So how would you let everybody know that?
Yeah.
Would you walk out doing the pee-pee dance?
Yeah, walk. I got to go.
Dave's holding his crotch, just dancing into the tunnel. I got to go.
No, but like for my teammates, I mean, especially – because at first I was like – well, maybe he went in for treatment, and that's fine. You know, what's most important is he gets ready, and if you need to get a jump on it. But, you know, the thing that you typically do afterwards is you ice. You ice and right away. That's absolutely necessary. I would have said, bring me out some ice out here. Whatever, was it his knee or his ankle?
His ankle.
Yeah, bothering him. And ankles, I mean, you got to get ice on him. So, you know, but I wouldn't have left my guys. I wouldn't have left the floor. I would have found a way to stay out there. I think it's... you know, if
it doesn't look good.
It's not a good look.
Well, if any, whether it's legit or not, treatment or not, it opens you up to this. It opens you up to speculation and conjecture. People saying, making a direct assessment. He's a terrible guy, terrible loser. They're losing, and he wants to pout and run off the court. It just becomes an opportunity. You're providing an opportunity for people to, you know, rip your character.
Well, if you're LeBron, you probably don't care. I mean, I don't get the feeling that he cares too much about what people think about what he's going to do or whatever. So
yeah, I guess it's as long as the guys in that locker room with him are on board, then
yeah,
and the coach, then that's really all that matters.
I would think so. You know, we've seen a couple of these things. You know, remember when that was a weird thing when Marshawn, I believe it was in Kansas City, Arizona, I think he came out late and he puked into a garbage can. Then there was the San Diego or Kansas City game where he sat outside, didn't go in for halftime.
Yeah, late on the bench, right? Was he on the bench? And then the time he didn't get on the bus.
Yeah, those were all bad looks.
Yeah, the bus thing, at least people didn't see. We heard about it. You know, but yeah, it's just not a good look, period, especially if it's multiple times like Marshawn.
I remember we had to apologize because at first, you know, there was somebody, I think it was a photographer, that was like, Marshawn didn't get on the bus. And we're like, now, are you quite sure? I mean, did you count every single person or were you watching every? And I guess he or she was. And, you know, we were like, oh, well, they were right. But yeah, that was probably the worst thing that I've seen. I mean, as far as LeBron walking off early, Marshawn not getting on the bus, that was a big deal.
Yeah, yeah, that's a bigger statement, certainly. This happy hour is brought to you by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. Coming up, Tom Brady embraces his most embarrassing moment from last season. You'll hear it when we sweep the dial. Coming up with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Scanning the airwaves for the most interesting and entertaining stories of the day. Sweeping the dial. Every afternoon at 4:45 with Wyman and Bob.
Here, we got some updated imaging there. It's slick. Look at this. Jamming along to it. So LeBron James, we just talked about him. He walked off early. Then in the press conference, he didn't really hold back, which is, you know, I guess refreshing, but he laid it all out there. He said it did not go well for our team.
I don't know. I mean, we got our kicked. I mean, it's just that simple. They did got to whatever they wanted to get to in this game. And, you know, we got to be better, obviously, if we want to force a game seven. So, obviously, a lot to learn from in this game, a lot to cover. See, you know, what we got to do better going into game six. But, I mean, they pretty much just kicked our. I mean, it's nothing else really to say.
Yeah, I mean, what do you say when you get beat by 30 or whatever the final score? I mean, it wasn't close. It was never competitive.
They didn't have Anthony Davis last night.
Yeah. No.
And it looks like he's questionable for the next one. That's a big, big one for them. But, yeah, and then, you know, I don't know if he even cares that, you know, people are giving him heat for leaving the bench early. It's not like he was going to help him. It kind of looks like he was distancing himself from the stench.
The stench, right? Of, like, the rest of the team?
Yeah. Like, I don't know.
I'm not responsible for these guys.
Yeah, I don't want any part of what just happened out here.
Yeah, what happened tonight was them. Yeah, 115-85 was the final in that. And then, meanwhile, you had a defensive struggle between the Nuggets and the Blazers. 147-140 was the final, and it was double overtime. I'm joking, but I mean,
are you sure you're not reading an NBA All-Star game?
Yeah, it's that kind of score.
Well, if it's double overtime,
Damian Lillard was just ridiculous. I don't know if you saw any of that, but just
he's unconscious.
He 55 points, Dave. He had 55 points in that game.
It's fun watching him. I mean, he just seems like he's always ready to shoot, and
he's a chucker.
He is a bit of a chucker, but he's a good one.
Sweeping the dial.
Well, have you guys seen the movie The Dark Knight? Before I get into this, the Batman one.
I believe I have.
All right.
There's so many.
Which one was that? Which
that's
guy was playing
Heath
Batman?
Ledger and Christian Bale.
Yes,
the
I
more
have.
Recent one. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Jay Williams is talking about Aaron Rodgers here, and he uses probably the most famous quote from that movie in describing Rodgers' change in mentality.
You either die a hero, or you live long enough to become the villain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true for everybody. True for everybody. And for Aaron Rodgers, as much as he gives those, you know, political correct answers, you know what it is. I mean, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I don't need people to like me. I don't need you to like me. I want to be, you know, obviously, look,
man,
I love this place.
That, but you but know you he's
but,
not
but
like
But he would
that.
Never say that. He would never say that publicly. But internally, like, I can't make everybody happy, right? When I try to make everybody happy, who ends up not happy? You've heard that so many times. You.
Mm-hmm.
So for Aaron Rodgers, if it makes you happy to be somewhere else, if you got to give back, what, 40-plus million? Do it.
I'm perfectly happy making everybody else happy, okay? I just want you guys to know that.
Giving back 40-plus million, that wouldn't make me happy. I'd be very unhappy after that.
Well, it's funny when guys have to repay things. It's one thing to not get a check.
Yeah.
But to repay, how do you go about that?
I guess, you know, how do you put a price on your happiness? It's different for everybody. We joke around about, you know, Jaron Reed and having a little tantrum and costing himself, what, more than half of his salary than he's making now. I mean,
about $4 million.
Yeah. Over hurt feelings.
Feelings got hurt.
So I'm going to give up this $4 million payday I would have had coming, or $4 million more than he received with his new team, because he felt like it wasn't handled the right way in Seattle.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of weird to think that much money and, you know, the consequences of him not playing in Green Bay. And also on the other side, if Clayton's right and he ends up going to Denver, maybe he takes them, you know, further than anybody would have thought. I know they're in a, you know, they're in a division with Kansas City and a very up and coming Los Angeles Charger team.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, he could change that, and the whole thing, all that money, everything, it's all over because somebody didn't say something right or handle something right, you know. And that's where that kind of stuff really matters, and that's where Pete really, I think he does a really good job of handling those kinds of things, but. Somewhere, somehow, he got sideways with that franchise, and it's because of something somebody did say or didn't say.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the football, on the field, throwing an interception, any of that. It has to do with just communicating the right way. And I don't know, who knows which one's crazier, right? When you have, you know, you ever have friends that split up and you're like, yeah, she's crazy, and your wife says, oh, that guy's crazy. You don't know which one's crazy, but...
Well, and that might have been icing on the cake, the Jordan Love thing. It could have been building up to that point, yeah. And maybe he finally said, all right, that's enough. I mean, who knows what's going on behind closed doors? We don't. That's the one that's public. That's the thing that everybody is aware of, but there could have been a lot of things building up to that. Who knows?
Yeah, the other thing I would say about it is that have other... Do they have a reputation for being a team that, you know, are they the Jaguars or the Jets?
Mean, terrible?
Yeah, well, just...
poorly run?
They're poorly run, you know? Like, they don't communicate well with their guys. They don't, you know, do things the right way. They do get sideways with their... I mean, obviously, everybody wanted out of Jacksonville.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All the good players did anyway, and a lot of them got out. So, well, there was something wrong.
How long has Gutekunst been there?
Goody.
How long has he been there?
I think 2 years.
So, he's fairly new. So, I don't... Maybe things changed when he came into the fold. I mean, who knows?
Yeah. Well, but I don't see, like I said, I don't see anybody else that's upset there.
Except for the five wide Only receivers that are not showing up.
Well, they're a little solidarity there for their brother in arms, maybe.
So you're saying you think he's got a better chance of advancing the Broncos than Drew Lock does. Am I hearing you correctly?
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb on that one, but okay. Yes, you can you can record that.
Okay.
Sweeping the dial.
Well, Dave, I have to ask, do you have a TikTok? Because you... read Tom Brady's quote.
And yeah, I got a clock on my desk.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess Tom Brady has just discovered TikTok or something, because that quote that you read, he's on TikTok, he has a new account, and he's on a green screen. That's where it came from. He's just kind of narrating plays. I don't know what prompted this. Maybe he's bored. He's just in his old man, almost post-Super Bowl retirement glow, but he's narrating plays, and then he narrates this play from the Bears game.
You guys remember this one? Fourth quarter, last chance in Chicago. I thought it was the second to last chance in Chicago, but apparently not. I don't think I've ever been as confused as I am in this moment right here. Get up, face.
Yeah, and then he holds up four fingers, joking and laughing.
Good for him, poking fun at himself for losing track of the downs. He thought it was third down, and it was fourth down.
That's a great way to handle that. I mean, I'm sure he was really embarrassed afterwards.
Probably easier to handle it when you won the trophy that year.
Yeah, I mean, but at the time they hadn't. It was later part of the season. So
wasn't that evidence for a lot of people that, see, he's getting old. He doesn't even know what it is.
Yeah, that's right. He doesn't even know where he is.
Yeah, he's lost. He's not sure what team he's playing for. He's looking at the sidelines, and Belichick's not there. He's confused. I don't know.
Yeah, where's Bill?
Yeah.
But I don't know. He just has always handled everything so well. And he gets lots of pressure on him, lots of things. I don't know. There's been a couple times. Remember one time when his wife was screaming about, my husband can't catch the balls. He just throws them.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a little bit of rift there. Yeah, Giselle. There's been a few other things. Everybody with the whole ball inflation thing, which is still so ridiculous to me.
Well, that was another thing that was sort of icing on the cake of Spygate, the cheating scandals that they were involved with before. So they had that reputation going into that moment. If that were just an isolated thing, don't you think that would have been nothing?
Yeah.
Like, there was no history with the Patriots. No, nobody ever said a word about cheating. Nobody ever, nothing. Just they were like every other team. And then Deflategate comes up. I think that would have been just a blip.
Well, and I'll say this. I've always concentrated, when it comes to that story, I've always concentrated on that people can't tell the difference between the inflation level. But people's point was that, but they tried to hide it. And they tried to, you know, but I don't, it did not give them an unfair advantage. I'm sorry. Even, you know, Warren Moon was like, you can't tell the difference between an overinflated, underinflated. I remember we asked Bobby Wagner, he's like, what? The inflation of the football.
Never even considered it. All right, this happy hour is brought to you by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. Coming up, Michael Jannetty of Spotrac. We're going to ask him about that and more important questions. He's going to join us next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.